welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan. I was saying that on the Healesville Yarra Glen Road, they are currently line marking.
And that held you up. Cindy, first of all, Happy New Year, because it is the first time we've seen you this year. And I hope you and your family had a great Christmas.
Oh, I did, and to you too. Thank you. Yes, we're, you know, a good couple of months past that now, aren't we? It's hard to believe.
You sort of forget that, don't you?
You do sort of forget it, and, you know, we've got a leap year tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, it is too.
Yeah,
it is too. All right, let's get down to it, because we've a bit shorter on time. Citizen of the Year, you'd like to talk about that?
I do, actually. We had, during Australia Day, Yarra Rangers had their Citizens of the Year, and they do, you know, we've got a couple of young kids that get recognised, and we had, I think, Sophie Morris from over at Yarra Glen. She was the young environmentalist. I think she's a student at Mount Lilydale, and that's always good to see somebody who's so young and active and takes a bit of a leading role at school, trying to, you know, get kids understanding a little bit more about the environment. But the community group of the year was the Millgrove Residents Action Group, and they've been recognised before for their great work, but it was over a decade ago, so you've got a whole lot of different people.
Yeah.
There's still some that are the same. Maureen Hallett's still the same. Bob Lilly's still the same. I'm not sure that Kate Baselier, who does a lot, was there at the time. So, and one of the township groups in Lilydale, I think the Citizen of the Year was from there. But you might also remember that one of the people that was recognised was your very own Bruce Argyle.
Yes. Great, wasn't it?
And Bruce does a lot out and about. You know, he's always doing different things with different groups and organisations. And so it probably wasn't a surprise that that was going to happen at some point. So congratulations there to everybody that was recognised for their work. And it's a bit of a process, I must say, for those at the council, you know, to look at the nominations, to go through the nominations, because there's so many worthy people around. And, you know, not everyone can be all nominated and recognised at the one time, but
it does show you how many great people there are working out in the community day in, day out, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. In the Yarra Valley there's loads, and it's such a great place to be, and I think that inspires people. And I've said before, but when you're, you know, at Millgrove, driving through, and you know, the market's there, it always looks good. But, you know, like equally in Lilydale, which I'm not as familiar with, you know, there's people there working. In Healesville, there's always people working to do something different and to make it better.
And there's shows and all that. Both Yay and Lilydale have got shows.
That's right. And Yarra Glen have a show, and it's pretty well just the horse one as well. Wandon Field Days are really big. You know, that centre over there at Wandon's, you know, really quite massive. And, you know, I've been to the field days over there, and that gets people out and about. And when people come out and about and see the great area that we live in, you know, they'll come back.
And the great thing is, it's the residents doing it for the residents, isn't it? It's from the ground up.
That's right. And it's very difficult to somebody to plonk something over the top. And look, one of the other great events that comes to mind over the years, they've had a number of different wine, Victoria or Yarra Valley wine events. They used to have some grape grazing, but in the middle of winter, you know, they've had a couple of events at just across the road at the Healesville Railway Station. Yep. And they've had that whole precinct into a bit of a winter market and some music and some wine and stuff. And, you know, like, it's just from the ground up. People do some great stuff. And it's terrific to see that they get recognised.
Yeah, and it is. And as you say, but there are probably heaps of others that just don't get recognised too. So I guess it's a bit of a call out for some of the organisation to have a look within their organisation and maybe nominate some of these people.
That's exactly right, Alan, because the nominations come from the ground, and, you know, you just see the people around. And I guess this is, you know, we're a long way from those nominations now, but people will start to think about somebody who's done some work for such a long period of time. You know, I even look at the guys at the Badger Creek Hall.
Oh, yep.
And, you know, Kath Cameron and Kevin Mason, you know, they've been just at it for years and years, and it's, you know, they've got some things done, and it's pretty hard out there because people are working, so you don't have a lot of people to give time during the day. But, you know, these guys keep pressing and pressing and get some improvements done to the hall.
And unfortunately, sometimes they don't get recognised until they've stopped doing it, because all of a sudden someone says, oh, why isn't this done? Oh, Fred or Wendy used to do that, isn't it? And very often that happens.
And that happens, actually, probably more than you realise, even with some of the council-owned land in various spots, that the residents actually mow it. There's certain walkways between streets or sections of road along the Warburton Highway that some of the residents just take it on their own and do it. And, you know, we've got Clean Up Australia Day coming up on the weekend, and this will be people cleaning up and making a difference in their local community.
Sounds great. I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Of course, that was Normie Rowe and Shaking All Over. And, of course, Normie Rowe's still around the RSL, still working away, so having a great time. Cindy, we briefly mentioned the Clean Up Australia Day. You want to talk a bit about it? Because this weekend.
It is this weekend, Sunday morning. I'm going to be at Badger Creek doing clean up, joining the volunteers down there. And they have them in a lot of the different communities. I know there's the council have some advertised on their website. There's often one at Millgrove. There's often one at, I think there's one at Kilsyth this time, and lots of the little communities. And it's a good idea. You know, one year I couldn't actually get out and do it, but because I live on a farm and, you know, on the road that goes past, I went out with my own bag, a rubbish bag, and I couldn't believe how quickly I filled two bags just from roadside rubbish.
Just out around the roadside?
Just the roadside. And I live on a farm, you know, like 15 kilometres out of a town, and there was bags of rubbish. I couldn't believe it.
It's unbelievable.
People throw stuff out of the car windows all the time.
Now, community keys. You want to talk about community keys?
I did. And this is such it is such a lovely idea. And if those people that have been in Healesville particularly may have seen outside the memo is a piano. It's chained in. But this is one of six pianos that are going to be installed across the Yarra Ranges. Now, I'm not sure exactly whether they're all in. I don't think they all are. I think they're being staggered.
Yep.
But so there's one in Healesville, which was when the opening was. Yarra Glen. There'll be one in Lilydale, Monbulk, Murralbark and Belgrave. So six different locations.
Yeah.
And so the idea is, like, people see and go, oh, my gosh, what's that piano doing outside? It's undercover. It's locked.
Yep.
don't take it away. But there are so many people that play the piano that don't have a piano, that they've learnt, they live in a house that's too small, or they live in an apartment, or they played it at home and it's still at their parents' place and not at their place. And, you know, or they've forgotten about it. And so there's this great project that Beth Williams, who is a music therapist, trained, classically trained, as is her husband, was a classically trained pianist. Beth is an opera singer, and so she got this happening. She got a grant from the Shire to help, you know, get them in and out.
Yep.
And what they, as they started to do it and talk about it, people keep offering up pianos.
Oh, did they? I can get more and more.
So she thought, oh, well, if anything happens to the six that we've got, we've
got plenty more.
But it came from a European concept of where they would have pianos in public places so people can go past and play. So you don't have to be, you know, Liberace to be playing it. You can be young and have a practice and play with a couple of your friends, or you can just pop past and play two or three numbers. But I really thought it was such a great initiative.
I think it is. How long is it there for, Cindy? Do you know?
Or, I think it's permanent.
Oh, permanent.
Yeah.
That's even better.
It is even better. And so when they did the opening, it was so fantastic. So Beth, she'd organised a couple of people who she knew to come and play, and one of those ladies, in fact, had said to me that I mean, she was a great player, but I don't have a piano at home. And so it was terrific, and Beth had organised somebody else to come and sing, and then there was a couple of people there who played, you know, like one guy just belts out on Love Story. It was just gorgeous, the music, and how passionately and how well. He was only a young person. And then Beth's husband, Simon, played Simon from Hargraves Hill, so like in their spare time.
Yeah.
Music's part of it, but in their spare time they're brewing beer down at Lilydale. You know, Simon played some great pieces and Beth sung and then people joined in. It was just, it was one of the nicest things I'd done for ages. It was really lovely. It was a Saturday afternoon about 5 o'clock down at the Memo Hall. So, you know, feel free if you know somebody who can play and you think that they'd like to get back and play, take them down, get them, you know, having a look around of where they are. I think Monbulk, where they were looking at having it near the market.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, when that they've got, they get a bit of a community going in and around the market there too. So it's lovely.
Sounds like good. Now, I'm a bit worried about this subject because you looked at me and you said, I want to talk about donkeys. So I'm a bit worried about this.
Well, probably, I'm trying to think how long ago. Was it 2014, 2016? It was a while ago that they had a donkey festival at Wesburn Park. And Linda Jay is the one who organises it. And there were donkeys everywhere and there were people everywhere and there were sideshows and rides. And it was kind of almost like its own little show.
Yeah.
And she had that at Wesburn Park in January. It was terrific. Good
I
to see.
I believe they had a car show there too, didn't they? Some old cars? I think they did. I think Mr. Excited brought some cars up.
On that same one, I don't know that I saw the cars, but I saw lots of different donkeys and they had them saddled up and some of them were rescue donkeys, some of them were, you know, found wandering the desert and Linda's actually, rehabilitated it and homed it and people from the Donkey Society, I think it's called, in the city come out. But it shows, you know, they do some really cool stuff. They have obstacle courses and you have to lead the donkey over the obstacle course or you have to there was different ways of doing it and they drew some really great crowds. So I was pretty impressed again with the Donkey Festival and congratulate everybody who was involved. You know, you have the Pony Club out at the Upper Yarra. They were doing some some food. I think they would have had a great fundraiser. But the SES, they're one of the tenants at Westburn Park, so they were involved doing the gate, but they had to run off and go because there was somebody fell down a cliff up towards Marysville, so they had to cause a couple of hiccups with the traffic, the SES trying to get out when they actually needed to. So, but it was a really good event. And again, from the ground up.
I'm just going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. Cindy, a couple of things before we get started. We are talking to Cindy McLeish, the local MP, and she's been telling us about what's going on in the community. One of the things I'd like to mention is that we were talking about people that are involved in the community, and there is an OAM, which is an Order of Australia medal. I was lucky enough to get one about 4 years ago. Now, it does take quite a bit of work, but we've been talking about some of these people who do things for years on end. And they don't get recognised because they just do it. They don't want to be recognised. But it's worthwhile getting onto the website and having a look. It does take a couple of years from the time it started. But think about in putting somebody in as an OAM, because I think it's a great way to thank the people for what they do day in day. And as Cindy and I were saying, sometimes these people, you don't realise what they've been doing until they don't do it.
That's exactly right. And you really, you know, right, hit the nail on the head there, Alan, because we all see people And I do too, and think, gosh, that person is amazing. They've done so much work voluntarily over the years. Yep. Sometimes people get recognised for their, you know, their actual work, and I'm not as big a fan of that as if people are really going over and above and doing something quite extraordinary to get recognised. And it does take a fair bit of work to put an application in, and you've got to get other people to support it, because, and then they go and check out on that person too. They'll say, oh, Alan Collier's, and they'll ask around and say...
They do too.
Yeah, they do. They ask around. And so if someone says, no, look, he was a scammer or whatever, and they'll think, oh, well, you know, who's this? Is his mate that's put his name down? And they check it out to verify, you know, the work that people have done.
I was amazed because I spoke to a couple of my friends and they said, oh, we knew you were going to get one. I said, how'd you know it? And they said, oh, we got a letter 12 months ago asking about you, and we had to give a reference and all that. So, look, please use it. It's a great opportunity, and it's probably one of the biggest awards that we can. We're not putting down any other awards, but we do. Cindy, let's talk about the emergencies and what to do in an emergency.
Well, we've had a few of those lately, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I guess now, you know, we're talking with more and more different types of weather events, and I can just look at the last, well, 6 months, not even, probably, you know, in Yay, for example, we've had two really bad floods in 15 months.
Yep.
And we, you know, had a lot of property damage, fences down, things like that. And we had in New South Wales, there was a couple, you know, towns got hit really badly. But we've had bushfires, there's fires burning in Victoria at the moment, and we've had storms.
Yep.
And let's face it, we live around a lot of trees.
Yes, up here. Yeah, we do.
And so when those trees come down, you know, they can block roads, they can take down power lines or power poles. And so when that happens, when you lose the power, and I live off grid, so I didn't lose power, but I know everybody around me lost power. And I know when it came back on because I got a whole lot of text messages. But my office in Yarra Glen, you know, we were without power. Half of Yarra Glen had power and half didn't, but for days. So my office was, you know, out of action. Well, we couldn't actually get in to even get stuff because it's all got a swipe card now. Everything's electronic. You don't have a key. And petrol bowsers, things like this. You know, there's a whole lot of things that fail. And so you really need to be organised in advance. Now, a tree can come down during a storm, or it can come down after a storm, and you can lose power. And I know it's difficult, and when they do come down, because if you've got tangled power lines, you know, it's dangerous.
Yep.
And you've got power poles that are snapped, and you've got the big structures. You know, we saw those photos of...
The towers.
The towers.
And the other thing is, too, that we should just mention, and I don't know why people do it, but they continue to drive through floodwaters. And you don't know how deep it is. The road can be washed away, can't it?
Absolutely. And I just, there's a little road up near me. My cousin lives down the end of it, and she lives this side of the bridge. But, you know, there was water over the bridge. But you wouldn't have known until the water subsided that half of the bridge was gone as well. So if anyone had have tried to go through it, you know, like...
Lights out. But they still do.
Yeah, yeah. It's some crazy behaviour. Yeah. And I know in Yay with the floods recently, the SES coming from King Lake and the SES coming from Alexandra had to work out whether it was safe for them to cross floodwaters on the road to get in and help. And they've got those jolly great big trucks.
They're designed for it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're designed for it, but still, it's a consideration for them. So we can know that when the power goes out, it could be a while. Now, if the... And people used to sort of only say, oh, my gosh, I can't charge my phone. Everyone have to jump in their car and try and charge their phone that way, which is still something that you can do. But we've got to have better systems in place so that people aren't relying on the internet and Facebook, because when the mobile towers go down and they've got a backup battery and maybe their batteries aren't big enough. And, you know, if when the batteries run down, if they've got generators, the generators have only got so many hours or days, you know, maybe a day and a half, and then they have to be topped up again. So if there's no fuel, you know, there's all of these things that happen. So it's not unusual that we could be without power for a couple of days or without mobile. And we need to know what to do. And I think, and this is something I'm going to raise with all of the local governments, is that they need to let everyone know if the internet's down, if the phones are down and you don't know what to do, head to, you know, whether it's a facility in Yarra Junction, whether, you know, wherever they determine it in Healesville, that you can know that there's backup generators and all of that sort of stuff if you're struggling, because the last thing people, you know, looking at their phones going, oh, it's dead, there's no point, I've got no signal. But if you need help, you know, you have to know what is going to be there.
Where to go to.
Yeah, and I think that this is pretty well incumbent on government and councils to say, in the event that there's no information out there because we can't get it out there, here's where you go.
Okay. Good idea. And the other thing is too that people need to think beforehand what they're going to take in an emergency too. It's no good fleeing the house because there's a bushfire coming down and then get out and find, well, we've got no money, we left our credit cards behind, we can't prove who we are because we left our licence behind, so we can't get a grant. So people need to really... And you don't... It's no good thinking about it when there's a fire down the road, is it?
No, when you're in times of stress.
Yep.
And it's something that you can do easily is write a list.
Yep.
Have a list on the fridge or somewhere that when you're... When something happens and you need to go, what are you going to take, and know where it is so you're not racing around looking for it for the last minute. But it's also, you know, having fuel. If you've got a generator at home, now I know loads of people in the bush have generators.
Yep.
Probably less in the towns. So, you know, if you live in Healesville, you may be less likely to have a generator than if you live out at Chum or Don Valley or somewhere.
Yep.
But if you've got a generator... You've got to make sure that you start them regularly so that they do start. Because the petrol goes off.
Like, it does too.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny to think about that. But yeah, petrol goes off. So you need to make sure that, you know, you're changing it over. But you have your fuel or whatever you've got, your jerry cans, that you've got some there that you can fill it up with as well. Because if the power's out, you know, and gosh, I was in America on September 11th. And nothing worked, you know, like because the communication systems were down, you know, ATMs wouldn't work and people couldn't pay anything with a card. People needed cash and they had to go into the bank because you couldn't get the ATMs weren't working.
That makes you get a shock about that.
You know, but you need to just be prepared. And I think, you know, the councils do need to let everybody know. Now, today I noticed the council had on their website that it was because of the weather was supposed to be disastrous, and it probably isn't here, of what was closed, to say, look, these facilities are closed, which I thought was a good idea because the power is still on. at the moment, and we haven't lost anything, but just in anticipation that so that people don't head somewhere and get stuck. And you know, they also say take a chainsaw.
It's a good idea. Now, you want to talk about the year of the dragon?
The year of the dragon always sounds so good, doesn't it? I've been to a couple of Chinese year of the dragon things. I went to one in the city for Hong Kong. But we had the Australia-China Agribusiness Association celebration out in the Yarra Valley. And there were lots of people there. And it was an event where you had to have the interpreters all the time, because a lot of people who... import and export, or people from China were out as well as people who
terrific.
Export. So, but one of the things that, you know, we were hearing about is, and China do rely on Australia for some terrific stuff. And I had to say, hey, it's not just about wine in the Yarra Valley. We've got lots of other stuff.
There's a lot of other stuff here. Yeah.
But, you know, like the wool industry, for example, is something that's important. But also, you know, orchards and, you know, fruit and vegetables will go overseas as well when we export, not just other products that people might make. So,
and there's food down in the Gippsland too, isn't there? All around Maffra and that. There's a lot of vegetables that get
exported. And dairy.
Yes.
And dairy.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, we were at Helen and Joey's, which is just in Coldstream, opposite Hubert's, and a very new facility that they've had built there. And, you know, we had a lovely afternoon, for a couple of hours anyway, you know, with the you know, great meal that they'd put on, but celebrating Year of the Dragon, but more importantly, Australia-China agribusiness, because we do have a lot of relationships there. You know, when they stopped exporting wine, the difference it made to the Yarra Valley exports was phenomenal, to see the figures that they had up on the screen about what 2019 looked like and then what 2023 looked like. Look. The difference was a quarter.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, it was just... It really sort of made you stop and think how important some of these relationships are. So,
yeah. All right. So we've just about got to go, but have we got something else for a minute?
Congratulate to Karen Vigors. Karen Vigors, her parents are Diana and Jim, locals in Yarra Glen. Karen's an author, and she had a release just the other day of her latest book. She's had, I think, The Orchardist's Daughter and one about light... A lighthouse. That she's had different ones,
yep.
And she's had her most recent book. So look out for Karen Vigors.
And what's the name of the book?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember.
Sorry,
I can remember the ones that she had. The ones that I've read previously. I'll have it in just a text. Sidelines.
That
yeah.
Sounds good, and it'll be available at. On a website or do you know where it's available?
Oh, look, I suspect most bookshops have it, and if they don't, you know, you could certainly ask to get it. But Karen is also a vet, so she's a veterinarian and an author, and yeah, parents are locals here in the Yarra Valley.
Sounds terrific. Very worthwhile getting. Cindy, unfortunately, the time is just about gone. We wish you well in the coming year. It's we'll face what we all have to, but... thank you for coming in today.
A pleasure, Alan.
Thanks.